You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Aubrey, good morning.
Hey, morning, Eusebius.
Yes, sir.
Eusebius, sorry, man, I have to bring this topic, man. Eusebius, I just want to mention one thing. As I'm saying, I hate bringing up this topic. I want us maybe to discuss about the death penalty, né? But let's amend it, Eusebius. Let's say, after what I've seen with that Metro Police Corp in Joburg, né? Let's say, Eusebius, if you bring back a death penalty, once you are sentenced for death today, then maybe there's a grace period of about 2 years for you to appeal and to do whatsoever. Unlike the previous government, you can sentence for death. Then
slow down, Aubrey, slow down. Get your ducks in a row first. Take a deep breath.
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Before we talk about how it should be administered, what is your argument in favor of bringing it back at all?
You see, if someone can go to a Metro Police Corp, disarm that corp, shoot and kill him, you see, what kind of a society are we? What about me and you? A cop, I'm talking about a trained police officer, disarmed, after taking that gun, instead of saying, it's just I've taken the gun, continue killing that person.
Okay, so what would be the aim of the death penalty?
If you are on the death penalty, maybe it will deter, especially when you attack the state. Let's talk about the state. If someone has the audacity to kill a police officer, no, something must be done, you see. That's what I'm saying. Maybe...
Aubrey, what would be the purpose? You're 5 steps ahead in your reasoning. That's what I'm saying to you. If I asked you the following question, how would you answer it? You, Aubrey, would like the death penalty to possibly be reintroduced in South Africa. What purpose do you think it will serve?
The purpose that is going to serve is to deter criminals. Especially, I'm looking at people who are attacking the state, police officers. If you have the guards, you see, to kill a police cop, what about me and you as citizens? Let's start it with the state. If you have killed a cop, then something serious should happen to you. Then maybe as time goes, we can gradually bring it down, maybe to also affect everyone. But if you attack the state, you see, that's where my problem lies.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think we must never, ever bring the death penalty back. I think the IFP is wrong for calling for it. And I think even if many South Africans in a referendum were to say, we want the death penalty back, I hope that the Constitutional Court will not reopen State versus Makwanyana. And I tell you why, Aubrey, and that's why I'm pushing you to explain your logic to me, because your logic must be empirically sound. I don't think that it is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the deterrence argument that is absolutely, at best, uncertain, and in the worst-case scenario for you, doesn't support your argument. Criminologists have now for decades debated, with the help of looking at data, what deters people from committing crime. And a majority of them have stumbled on a very interesting insight, and it's actually intellectually interesting. We'll come back to crime in a second. You know what many criminologists have established? They have established that the best way to deter Aubrey from doing any wrong, not just murder, but even stealing, is to make sure that the chances of Aubrey being apprehended, charged, and successfully prosecuted are as high as possible. In other words, criminals don't really care about the nature of the punishment that they may be meted out in court. The reason why they will be brazen about criminality is if they think there are good odds of them not being caught or not being successfully prosecuted. Now, what is the moral that comes out of that research? The moral is that South Africa have got to beef up its prosecutorial capacity and effectiveness and policing before we talk about new forms of punishment. So you're putting the cart before the horse. You can bring back the death penalty. But if your police service are not very good at making a would-be criminal feel that they are likely to be busted, and the NPA is not effective at making a would-be criminal feel they will have a very good chance of being found guilty in a court of law, it doesn't matter what the punishment on your books are. So the obsession with the punishment really let the police and the NPA off the hook. We need to improve policing. We need to improve prosecutorial effectiveness in our country. That is a most important way to get people to think twice about doing crime. The nature of the punishment is not something that criminals think about before they decide whether or not they're going to gun down a cop or whether they're going to kill you and me when they raid our homes.
Yeah, but based on that, I think we should also commend the Metro cops, because after that incident, I saw the whole of Hillbrow was on a sort of a lockdown, and they made sure that they apprehend those guys within 24 hours or stuff like that. But I was just thinking that something really should be done, especially for someone who has that nerve to attack a cop and kill him. So to me, man, it's disturbing, in fact.
Of course it's disturbing. It's disgusting. It's a crime against... This is offending society. This goes against our values. But the thing is, we have to separate here our appropriate feelings of being disgusted and angered, and then we need to have a hard, evidence-informed decision about whether the death penalty is actually an effective deterrent. And this is an argument as old as you and me. It's as old as prostitution is a career. But I'm afraid I've never seen myself, maybe you have, I've never seen incontrovertible proof that it actually is an effective deterrent.
Actually, I don't know. So you should be a bit. Let us hear what Arash is about to say. Thanks a lot, eh?
Thanks, Aubrey. Much appreciated. Have a beautiful day.
Okay, bye.
Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, JCBF. You're actually speaking violent. Yeah, true. You know, reintroducing the death penalty, like the criminologists have actually found out, really, it will be difficult to deter any possible person who can do that. Around 2005, a prosecutor in the Joburg High Court, I can't remember whether it was from the south of or from the north, northern court, who ensured that black children who have committed crimes, petty crimes, right, or whatever, they are being criminalized, whereas their counterparts of certain rape groups were actually sent, you know, being sent for rehabilitation, right? So really, the problem is with the National Prosecuting Authority to ensure that really the law is being applied to the law. But again, it's obvious. The South African police force that was not dismantled, that was not disintegrated like the SANDF. Hence, when you go into, when you join the South African police force, the remnants of apartheid, you must remember the apartheid system was actually maintained not by the SADF, but by the South African police, or branches with some other branches within it, right? So I think that's my actual contribution.
Okay, interesting take. Thank you, Stephen. Have a beautiful day. Vincent, good morning.
Morning, CBS. I wanted to follow up on Aubrey, the discussion with Aubrey. I think as much as we have a predetermined outcome for rape, we have a minimum sentence. Can't it be a resolution that the minimum sentence for killing a cop whereby you are attacking a state should be a death penalty?
No, we could decide it as a society. Nothing stops us from doing so. We just have to hammer out the arguments for and against and decide what the most compelling arguments are. Why? What is the argument for the suggestion you are making?
My argument is that as much as after they kill the cop, if there is no proper investigation done and there is lack of evidence, a person can get a minimum sentence and they still go out there and come back and commit the same crime. They continue killing, if not cops anymore, they kill citizens who are very vulnerable, unlike a cop. But if you have a death penalty, at least you know you would have dealt with certain issues.
You see, Vincent, the literature on the death penalty is not easy to make sense of, but broadly speaking, there are two types of arguments that people typically give in support of the death penalty. They either say the death penalty will deter criminals, or they say we want it as a matter of retribution, regardless of whether it deters or not. On the first of the two arguments, there isn't incontrovertible proof that it actually deters people. And that's why I was saying to Aubrey, some of the more subtle research from criminologists is that actually many criminals worry more about whether there's a chance that they could be busted than they worry about what would be the nature of the punishment if I was found guilty. And that means you've got to beef up policing and you've got to beef up the NPA. The second argument is far more interesting, and this is what you are getting at in a roundabout way. That if we are 110% sure this person genuinely killed a cop and they found guilty in a court of law, then maybe this is a way for society to say, no more, we are hereby telling you how disgusted we are in what you do. We're not trying to deter other people. We are simply trying to effectively show some sort of vengeance for your criminal behavior. But here's the problem with that argument as well. I don't trust our administration of justice to be sufficiently good that we will not potentially have errors. And if you're going to have mistakes, there's a very obvious, simple problem with the death penalty. It is irreversible. Mm-hmm. It is irreversible.
Yeah.
Now, in a country where there are so many weaknesses in our criminal justice system, forensic capacity is not particularly very good, disproportionately, it will be us working class darkies who will end up being killed, sometimes capriciously by the state, because we don't have armies and armies of lawyers to get us off death row, for example. So be careful what it is that you wish for.
No, I totally agree. A successful prosecution, eventually, if there is tangible evidence that a person has actually committed the crime, because it is, you put someone to death penalty and you find that it was wrong, as much as you're talking about the poor administration of our justice, then yes, it can have a serious repercussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vincent. Have a beautiful day. Tsepo, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
I have never been better. It's Friday.
Yeah, no, I wish I was better like you.
Shame, man. What's wrong?
No, this is not the first time I called you about this issue. I hope you will remember it. The first time I called, I said maybe teachers need to die so that the issues of safety in school can receive a better spotlight than they are. And unfortunately, one of our colleagues in the Northwest has died at the hands of a learner, and one in Gauteng, El Dorado Park, was pointed with a gun by a learner. And then I listened to Biden Fire in the morning, and I felt that he is passing the blame towards the parents. And I still think that the Department of Education is actually number one clueless in trying to deal with the issues of learner discipline, or it does not have to handle that of the education system. Because as I'm speaking to you now, we know that in the majority of our schools, the houses are broken, the household is broken up, the family is no longer the family that we used to have.
Yeah.
And parents are always at work when they're supposed to be dealing and disciplining their learners.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You see, so how do you pass the burden now of disciplining learners to the same parents who are at work? And my question to him was just supposed to be simple, that if the education system was able to adapt to the changes in technology, why is it not able to adapt and say, okay, we are aware that parents are not at home when they're supposed to be raising their children. These children are with us for the majority of their life as long as they're in school. But then we don't want to handle issues of discipline. I mean, how many teachers should...
For example, let's just cut through the details. So what should be done?
Yeah. Firstly, the South African schools.
We just lost Tepo there.
702 and Cape Talk.
Open line.
It is an open line. We're debating the death penalty. I'm firmly against it. And I wonder what your views are and if you think it should be brought back. What arguments can you muster in support of it? Max, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning, it's CBS. I'm totally against the death penalty. I think if we take a step back and look at the society that our children are born into the violent environments that they're born to parents, their local communities, there's no wonder that at some point in time that some of these gross crimes are committed. And I think the criminal justice system doesn't do us any favors for even petty crimes. We place these same children for peddling drugs into straight into jail. And I just think that breeds, once you've got a criminal record in jail, you're purposely creating a worse problem, especially if these people are released from jail back into society with minimal support. So I really believe
The death penalty seem like quick fixes, but it's actually exceptionally lazy. It's very lazy. It's also very anti-poor, by the way. It's anti-poor and anti-black because disproportionately the people with the least amount of social, economic and political power in society will be the ones that will experience this injustice. It's harder to ask your question, Max, which is why do we have high levels of recidivism, for example?
Absolutely. And what sits right behind the idea is that crime equals punishment. And the punishment that you get for the crime actually doesn't have any outcome of releasing someone in a better place back into society that they can actually perform and be a part of society in a constructive way. So I think we've got to take a step right back.
I think
we do have to remove certain individuals from society, but I think we have to take a psychotherapy, a psychiatric, a healing approach over years and a supportive approach rather than this very expensive and demeaning route back in creating more crime. It's just a vicious cycle, in my opinion.
You know, the other thing, I mean, there's so many layers to why we shouldn't bring it back, besides the international arguments why the death penalty is not proven beyond reasonable doubt, as it were, to be an effective deterrent. There are also facts unique to our own history. We know what it was like to have a violent apartheid state that at its core was violent, and we had state-sanctioned violence, and it was often violence meted out, including the administration of the death penalty, in partisan manner. Now, imagine now we don't have a clear NP evil behemoth in government. You do have factions, however. We know from the Jacob Zuma years how the criminal justice system, the entire justice cluster, has been subject to state capture and to factionalism. Now, just imagine you have the wrong person in charge of the SAPS. Just imagine you have the wrong person in charge of the NPA, for example. Just imagine you could successfully bully a magistrate or a judge. You know what I mean? People don't even take into account some of those other contextual realities about South African history.
Yeah, and unintended consequences of putting something like that in place.
Yep.
I absolutely believe that the approach hate and violence breeds more hate and violence, and the death penalty is just another form of violence.
I agree with you, Max. Humanity. No disagreement between us today. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Ciao, ciao.
Cheers. King, good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Very good, man. It's always a pleasure speaking to you. I beg to differ with you.
Sure.
The country is extremely lawless. People can do whatever they like. They have become, we've become like animals, my brother. They kill for absolutely no reason. You're not safe in your own home. Your kids are not safe. You and I, when we grew up, we could play in the street. Our parents, we didn't worry. They know we'll come back home. Today, our kids cannot. They cannot. How do you, what gives anyone the permission to take another's life? What gives them the guts to do that? You came to rob and live. Why do you see the need of taking somebody's life with you? You are killing breadwinners. Kids are left destitute to suffer and fend for themselves because of a person who got no conscience. Look at our neighbors in Swaziland. There's a death penalty in Swaziland. Let's not go far. Let's go to Botswana. Let's go check the murder rate in Swaziland and in Botswana. Why are people not committing as much murder as in South Africa? Because they know if I get caught, I will be put to death. They must suffer the same pain they instill on people. Then we will live in a better country. I promise you, my chief.
I disagree with you, as you know. Let me tell you where your reasoning doesn't convince me yet. So a couple of things. Sure. Firstly, and I don't know whether you used your words literally or whether I mustn't be too unkind in the word choices that you made. But you said, for example, that many murderers don't have a conscience. Now, here's the thing. If it is true that a murderer doesn't really have much of a moral compass, that means that when they are reasoning, they're not going to give a damn about what punishment they will likely actually be meted out were they to be found guilty. So if the aim of the death penalty is to deter, and you are telling me that would-be murderers don't have a conscience, it means that the kind of fear that you and I, as reasonable death penalty-fearing citizens, will think about when we think twice before we try and murder someone else, that's not going to be the reasoning processes of the average would-be criminal that is prepared to murder because they don't have a conscience, as you say. Secondly, we can play example table tennis, man, King. You know this thing, I was waiting for someone to say, oh, but look at societies in Middle East countries. The problem is that you have simultaneous factors that are present there, and it's very difficult to know which factor is the most important explanation for why crime levels are low. So, for example, what about something as simple as respect for laws that is based on an understanding that it is immoral to break laws, full stop, all laws, any law, including shoplifting.
That's right. Sure.
So you can't just say, let's go and have a look at Botswana. Because it may be true that you have the death penalty there. It may also be true that every person wears red socks. We're not going to say that red socks is the reason why the crime levels are low. It is extremely hard to know which of 10 different factors that are all present in Botswana is the most important explanation for why crime is low compared to us.
I hear you, sir. And I agree with you to a certain level. But the crime statistics in South Africa is far too high compared to other countries in the world. And why is that? Because first, you are very correct when you say our justice system is flawed. We need to indeed fix the justice system. I agree with you 100%. But while we are fixing, let's not allow these criminals to continue ruling our lives. You know, you see, just until somebody has been a victim of a serious crime, they won't understand how painful it is. I've had a gun on my head, my heart, my stomach, 5 times.
King, let me say this, and I know you're going to allow me with greatest generosity to say this, and you listen to my show regularly, so I'm going to take the liberty.
I do.
Precisely because you've had a gun to your head, you are possibly not the best person to talk dispassionately about whether the death penalty would deter someone from doing it to you again. I have no doubt that if I had to witness a loved one being raped in front of me, if I had to experience a home invasion with a gun against my head, I have no doubt that at a psychological level, I might come back on the show the following day and say, bring back the death penalty. But I'm not so sure that having that traumatic experience raises the quality of my argument.
No, you're serious. Let's put all the crime... Let's separate the types of crimes experienced in South Africa. And let's compare it to other countries in the world. And let's ask, why is it so high in this country? There's a reason for that. There's a state of lawlessness. The country is lawless. And I believe if they bring back the death penalty, it will regulate to a certain extent. You might not agree with you, but I believe it will definitely do so. They will think twice before going to shoot people in shopping centers.
Let's give other people a chance, but I'm going to have a final say, and you have a final say, and then we'll give others a chance. Yes, why I think that we have high levels of crime in South Africa. There are a couple of factors that are related to the operations, the operational weaknesses within the SAPS and the criminal justice system. Policing is not as good as it should be, and that's why we had that conversation with Becky Cele a couple of days ago, and he doesn't have a plan for fixing it. They can't even have visible policing in our townships because they say environmental design, which is really, really bad government speak for, well, we just don't know how to patrol in between shacks that are next to each other. There's a policing problem in South Africa. There's a lack of leadership within elite units that are meant to be crime busting, that are meant to, on the basis of intelligence, infiltrate gangs who are responsible for our murder rate in the Western Cape, parts of the Eastern Cape, northern suburbs in PE, for example, and we haven't really dealt with how we are going to, we haven't found an effective way to deal with gangs, for example. So those are all things that have to do with operation stuff. And then there are societal factors, King. It's unsurprising that you're going to have high levels of gratuitous, violent crime in a country with our levels of inequality, high levels of unemployment, poverty, and low levels of economic growth, and in fact, the recession. Those things don't justify criminality. But it's actually not rocket science understanding what the drivers of criminality in South Africa are. And unless and until you deal in a very systematic way through effective policy implementation with everything from your policing problems to your inequality and economic indices that are problematic, you will never get crime to go down. And the death penalty isn't going to make a difference for as long as those other things in society haven't been dealt with.
I agree with you to a certain extent. And I will stand by what I say because, I study the trends worldwide and check. You know, we look at economy. When you study economics, we understand how people are really poor. But that does justify you to go and kill somebody for their belongings. It doesn't. We're all struggling along. You know, if you want the car, take the car and leave me alone. You've taken the car, so why do you see the need to kill me and leave my kids without a father? And if I retaliate as a citizen of the country and blow somebody's head, guess what? The law is harsher on me than the criminal. So I agree with you. Our justice system is flawed. We need to start there. But for now, let's put harsher sentences until we regulate.
Okay, we're going to leave it there, you and me. I promised you'd have the last say. Sarashini, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Hi, Eusebius. I think the death penalty is a dumb idea that people think will reduce our crime levels. Firstly, I think in cases where there is a death penalty, judges are more cautious in how they rule, and not every single criminal is going to get the death penalty. And the other thing is this, you know, the other barbaric idea that we have in this country is that I don't want to pay for that criminal to be eating in prison. And that's another one that just sickens me because that's just barbaric. You know, the other thing is our conditions in prison need to be such that you and I could safely go into prison. And the reason being, if you have a repressive government and you want to do civil disobedience, you need to feel safe to believe I can go into prison.
Yes.
And I believe a society shows its humanity by how it treats the people at the bottom in society. And your conditions in your prison is also an indication of the kind of society you are.
That's
and
right.
I don't want to live in a repressive place like Saudi Arabia, where they claim that crime is low. I don't even know if that's accurate. My husband worked in Saudi Arabia for a year.
Yep.
And it's absolutely horrific where they'd have these public hangings of people, you know, in somewhere in the middle of the city.
I agree with you, Sureshni. I agree totally. And people think feeling justifiably outraged constitutes an argument in favor of the death penalty. I'm not sure why it does. So there's some people saying, for example, here on my Twitter, here's a typical one from Pindile, saying, Eusebius, there's so much violent crime, on this hatful man. Well, being hatful doesn't mean that the death penalty is going to deter people or make us a society that is a society that functions better in terms of producing people that have a moral compass that work and feel that they've got such a stake in terms of their own lives within the society that it's not worth squandering it in jail or the possibility of being hanged.
And also, Eusebius, unequal society.
Yes.
We're not talking about poverty, even, but unequal societies have more 100%, crime.
100%.
So we will not get rid of the 100%. Crime until we deal with that. And I don't want to become a police state like America, where like black men are just put in jail for the slightest thing.
Yeah, and this is the weird thing about it, but that people are also not considering. You know, and it's interesting. I actually have a lot of my black listeners saying bring back the death penalty. If you look at America, what's really interesting is the people who disproportionately have the death penalty imposed on them are black people and working class people, because if you have enough money, you can have a stay of execution, you can appeal, you can have all the access to the inbuilt mechanisms to try and reduce the possibility of a wrongful conviction. But if you're poor, you don't. And so people are just not thinking with their ngqondo. Be careful what you are wishing for. Be careful what you are wishing for. And the prejudices built into criminal justice systems the world over are invariably anti-poor and anti-black.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Sureshni. Have a beautiful weekend.
702 and Cape Talk. Open line.
10 minutes before 10. By the way, we still have a fascinating show left. Obviously, after 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking science and all your science questions. You can get them ready now and call in and ask them of Chris. A little bit later, we talk sex after 11 o'clock with Dr. Eve. Are you ready for a sex robot? I wouldn't mind trying one of those, actually. We're going to talk about sex robots after 11 o'clock. And at 10:30, my producer, previous producers now at the SABC, Megan Lupke, last night won Journalist of the Year for the 2018 Responsible Drinking Media Awards, and also a second award in addition to that one for the best in the category commercial radio. Remember her amazing, amazing documentary on fetal alcohol syndrome in the south of Joburg. We're going to rebroadcast it and also just show Megan some love. She's going to come to the studio. We'll talk a little bit about that excellent piece of health journalism. Brian, good morning. Hello,
good
Brian.
Good morning, Eusebius. Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Very good. Thank you, Eusebius. Look, I concur and I agree with you 100%. I was just saying that, Eusebius, I think that we need more of the consequence management. I think the correctional facility sort of mechanism has not been so effective, because effectively in South Africa we have sort of like a correctional facility where a prisoner or a criminal will go in and come out, you know, go in and come out and stuff like that. So I was just thinking, you know, in my view, that if we would have harsher sort of like punishment or consequences for murderers and rape sort of the criminal offences, where you see this, those people go straight like to prison, not to correctional facilities, where perhaps there's no possibility of a bail or stuff like that, you know, so that at least in terms of, because now the cops are like, they're arresting you this week, you're in jail and you're busted, just to come back the following week and you've killed my friend or my cousin, you understand? So I think perhaps if we can get more of those, especially for rape and
Brian, you know, the phrase consequence management is all the rage. I don't like it. It's becoming too vague. Let's be blunt here. You know, the Cape Town Rape Crisis Center, for example, when they responded to the 0.9% increase in sexual violences that had just been announced by Becky Cele, they gave some quotes from women that they had interviewed who either did not report their cases, some 50% of the women, when they have been sexually violated, or who withdrew a case or who didn't see the case to completion. And the kinds of things they have said are things that we've known for years. Oh, the police said that I must come back tomorrow. Oh, there's no one who can take my statement. Oh, I had to wait 5 hours and then eventually I stopped. Oh, they didn't actually believe me. They wouldn't want to take me to the doctor to go and get a medical examination on the spot and give me that J what form. In other words, all of the responses that the Rape Crisis Center was getting from women for why they did either not report being raped or sexually violated or withdrew the case is because the quality of policing is so horrific in our police stations that a woman will be re-traumatized when she even goes and reports it. Now, that's got nothing to do with whether the rapist will be hanged or sentenced to 2 days in prison. The punishment is irrelevant. Women give up on reporting sexual violence that they experience because at the very first instance, at the beginning of the value chain, they are already let down. That is a policing problem. That is not a problem with what punishment is on the punishment books.
I understand that point, but I was just saying that in terms of also for them, I think it's also a psyche where they also need to know. You know, you see, even the cops, it's like when you catch them, it's like this thing of a couple fight and all of that, and the cop catches the man or whatever, and just the following day the things that are dropped and stuff like that. So I was just thinking, especially for them, because I heard the stats for rape and it was like ridiculous. So and these guys, there's no consequence in terms of, but I understand exactly what you're saying also, and I agree with that. But on top of that, you know, when you say we can both walk in to the chappie, so I think we can do that here also, you know, where we can also take them in, and there should be no possibility of a bail or coming back or something. You know, we just need to do something so that the others outside can also know that, listen, if you are caught, my man, you're not coming back. At least, you know, let them do something, unlike what's happening now. They're literally doing nothing.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Brian. JP, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sirius. Good morning. If I may, I'd like to make a few comments, or my views anyway, about the question of deterrence.
Yes, go ahead.
I think once you get past the constitutional challenges to bring back the death penalty, the major arguments against the death penalty appear to be that it doesn't serve as a deterrent.
Yeah.
If I just start off by saying if that is the case, I think we can all agree that none of the sentencing options we have in this country right now serve as deterrence. Because notwithstanding the fact that we increase sentences, we have minimum sentences, and they get longer and longer and longer all the time, crime seems to be on the increase. So we know for a fact that none of the existing sentences options are surefire deterrence. In fact, I believe in many, many respects our present system actually, in some respects, encourages people to commit a crime of murder. If by way of example, I can say the following. A criminal rapes a minor child. If he gets caught and convicted, he gets life imprisonment. His chances of getting caught and convicted increase if there are witnesses to testify against him. In other words, if the minor child is capable of testifying against him. Now, by virtue of the fact that he's facing a life imprisonment, I believe he's almost encouraged to murder the child because he knows that in doing so, it's less likely there's going to be a witness against him. And if he were to get caught on the murder charge, well, it's just another life imprisonment. And respectively, what's really the difference between one and two sentences of life imprisonment? So in that regard, I think our system fails us by just increasing the sentences. But here's the aspect relating to the deterrence. Imagine now that person who has now raped a minor child is aware of the fact that if he were to kill her, he'd be facing the ultimate sentence, paying the ultimate price, he would be executed. I believe that at the crucial point in time, that must, in the mind of that offender, persuade him, at least encourage him, not to go to the next step to actually kill the minor child. On a second note, when we say that the death penalty is not a deterrent, we lose sight respectfully of one aspect. Nobody who's ever been executed commits another offense. They just don't. I mean, the logic is simple in that regard, I believe. However,
hold on, Sean. I'm going to lose the thread. You've now made three arguments. I want to deal with all three of them. I don't find any of them convincing. Sure. I find them fascinating and also very compelling. And I wish we had 10 minutes, you and I, because I think it's a really, really intellectually interesting engagement we're having about the nature of the deterrence argument. I want to start with your last one, and let me respond to all three, and then you can respond back in turn.
Thank you.
The slogan, no criminal that have been hanged have committed another crime, doesn't get you very far. Sekonati Manchanja, from deputy editor of the Financial Mail, made the same comment on his Facebook page, and I didn't think that it was Sekonati's finest moment in logic. I can also say to you a different slogan. No wrongfully convicted person who was wrongfully hanged has a chance to prove, once the DNA tells us that this person was nowhere near the crime scene, to be brought back again. So the finality of the death penalty that you're talking about, that means that a corpse, cannot commit a crime. Equally, a wrongfully committed person has got no chance to live again if we were to find out that actually the administrative justice system had let that person down. So that's the first point. The second point is about how the possibility of the death penalty enters the reasoning processes of would-be criminals. You don't have to tell me what you believe. I think your intuitions are spot on, and I share them for most of my life. The problem is that we have to ask the researchers who do interesting work in social legal studies. And what they tell us is that the factor that weighs most on the mind of a would-be criminal is whether or not they're going to be apprehended and successfully prosecuted, not actually whether they will get the death penalty. And then your last point, this point about none of the current sentences deter people. You are absolutely spot on. But here is why it would be worse to bring in a minimum sentence for certain categories of crime where you will just impose the death penalty. Because if your justice system is as problematic as ours is, poor leadership, anti-poor, anti-black, the policing is not very good, at least with the current sentences that exclude the death penalty, the weaknesses in the administration of our justice system have got literally fewer lethal consequences for people that might be wrongfully convicted.
Yes. You see, I believe that the only really valid argument against the death penalty, again, if we say that once you get past the constitutional issues, is the fact that it is final. I believe that is the only logical and real argument against it, because there's no coming back from that, clearly. But I believe that procedures have been put in place to reduce that risk as insofar as possible. Let's also not forget that the death penalty would only be imposed, ideally, in the most heinous of offences. It's not something that is going to be a magic wand that's suddenly going to reduce crime in this country dramatically. What it is going to do, I believe, and that is what I would hope, is that it would prevent the most heinous of crimes being committed. We have far too many repeat offenders of child rape cases in this country. We have far too many repeat offenders of murder cases. We have far too many repeat offenders in respect of murders on policemen. And those are the categories, also including old people, obviously, where I believe something has to be done. And the death penalty, I believe, will come back, and if it were to come back, would at least, I'm convinced of it, reduce those offences. And if we say one,
but you see, but here's the thing, Sean, though, your subjective conviction that it will enter the reasoning processes of a would-be criminal, that has got to be supported by the research that the criminologists do. So it's not good enough to say with vuma in your voice, I strongly believe that it will really focus their reasoning processes. If the research already establishes that, in fact, they worry more about whether they're going to be busted, then your intuition may be an excellent intuition, but it doesn't get any support in social legal research.
But if I may finish by saying this.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
One of the problems that we have is that we consider that people who commit these sort of offences are reasonable people, that they're going to reason about it. They're not. They're not reasonable people. No reasonable person commits these types of offences. So they're probably not going to contemplate this in any event.
Okay, let's leave it there. We've overrun with the open line.